In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus speaking to the one leper who had returned, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his feet at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Jesus says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, from our lessons, we discuss three aspects of our life as Christians. Who is our Master? What has He shown us? How do we live our lives? Who is Jesus? He's our Master. What has He shown us? Mercy. How do we now live our lives? In mission. And what's the evidence that we understand this? That we are walking by faith with lives of thankfulness and frequent in worship. In our text today, we see this beautiful reality that Jesus really did come for all people. Jew and Gentile, all nationalities of people. Jesus came for this Samaritan man in the Gospel. Jesus came for Ruth and Naomi in the Old Testament lesson. He came for Saul and for Timothy in the Epistle. Christ, who is of David's line, the Jewish Messiah, born in Bethlehem, has come for all people. He has come for you and for me. Who is Jesus? What has He shown us? How do we now live our lives? Let's take these one at a time and begin with the first question. Who is Jesus? The answer? He's our Master. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and He entered a village, was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master." Jesus, His name, Christ Jesus, who was risen from the dead, the offspring of David. His name, Jesus, Yeshua, means the Lord saves. This is Jesus whom they call. And they call Him Master. They call Him Lord. Paul said that the word of God is not bound because it's the word of the Lord Himself. If we die with Him, we will live with Him. If we endure, we will reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Jesus, His name means Savior. Master is who He is, the Lord. Why is the Master on His way to Jerusalem? He is coming from Galilee up north, going through Samaria on His way to Judea, to the city of Jerusalem. He is on His way to Holy Week. He's on His way to be crucified, died, buried, risen, and ascend to the right hand of God. He's there on a mission to die for these lepers and for you and me. Our Master is met by 10 lepers who stand for good reason at a distance. They must lift up their voices in their desperate condition. Leprosy is a contagious skin disease which destroys the flesh and was communicable and could spread to other people. So they were outcasts, kept away from general society so other people would not catch it. Leprosy was so awful, sometimes people would lose their fingers and lose their toes. Very painful skin disease. They are in desperate condition. And so they cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master." That Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Master for all time. He's the Master for the 10 lepers, and He's our Master. We may not have leprosy on our skin, but we have a different condition, a sinful heart. As David said, "Behold, in sin I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We have a problem of the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to heal body and soul. When the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our sinful heart, we realize that we don't have, excuse the pun, a skin condition. We have a sin condition of the heart. And we are like a leper in our heart. A sin that is deadened so the nerves don't realize its spiritual woe. As these lepers could not enter the city without the grace of Christ, we cannot enter into the city of God. But the Holy Spirit guides us to realize why this Master came. Jesus would heal these 10 lepers, but would also, if you will, take our spiritual leprosy to the cross. It was as if when Christ went to the cross, He took our sin, our shame, our leprosy upon Himself, and in His sacrifice upon the cross, He gives us pure cleansing and covers us with His righteousness so that we have, if we will, before the Lord, the skin of an infant child without blemish, because the blemish that we have has been removed and the righteousness of Christ covers us. What happens with Jesus is the opposite of what happens in the rottenness of this world. If you have a rotten apple in a bushel of apples, you know what happens. The whole bushel goes bad. But when Jesus comes in contact with things that are unclean, He brings cleanliness to it. Jesus can touch the unclean and Himself never becomes unclean, but gives to us the clean righteousness that only He has. He could touch the leper, He can touch you and me, and He removes our sin and corruption and replaces it in holy baptism with His own righteousness, won for us on Calvary's cross and guaranteed to us in His resurrection. This is what Jesus the Master does for you and for me as He helped these lepers. So that's who Jesus is. The second question is, what has He shown us? He has shown us mercy. Praise God for mercy. The lepers say, "Have mercy on us." Jesus says, "Go to the priest and show yourself." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and gave Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Christ has shown us mercy. Did you know that we sing the words of these lepers every single Sunday? When we sing, "Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy," which in the Greek term is Kyrie eleison, which means, "Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy on me." We are saying with these lepers, "Lord, look upon my helpless plight and have compassion on me." We sing this, "Lord, have mercy," every week because we know that we need cleansing just as much as the lepers did. It's amazing how unassuming this miracle is. Jesus says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And while they are going, they are cleansed. The reason they went to the priests was before they could go back into society, the priests had to check them out very closely to be sure the disease was gone before they could go into the general populace again. And when they go, and as they are going, they are cleansed. This mercy had a different effect on the 9 compared to the 1. Now, 9 of them went to the priest. They were cleansed. They went their way. But one of them, when he saw was cleansed, ran back to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice. And even though he was a Samaritan, not one of the Israelites, he praised God with a loud voice, and he did exactly what we do when we come to the Lord's table and get on our knees to take the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. He fell on his face before Jesus' feet. That is the position of worship. On our knees, on our face, before our Master, and gave Jesus joyful thanks. This is a man who not only experienced mercy, he understood mercy. Do you understand God's mercy for you? Think of how merciful Christ has been with you. You only know some of the terrible things you may have done in your life for which you still feel guilty. Only you know those words that you've said and those actions of which you are ashamed. Think of what you would be if you didn't have Christ's mercy. And think of your life because you have that mercy. Because you've been declared righteous in God's sight through the blood of Christ, God has removed that sin as far as the east is from the west. Because Christ, the true high priest, in the temple of his own body, offers us purification. We don't have to go to a temple in Jerusalem to find out if we've been cleansed. The holy temple of the body of Christ, as our high priest and our sacrifice, is where we have been cleansed. And we are acceptable to God the Father through our high priest, Jesus Christ, who in the temple of his body is the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. He's been your great physician for your soul and for your body all of your life. And with tears in your eyes, as you take Holy Communion, you thank him that he has been so merciful to you and to me. Jesus is the Master. Jesus shows us mercy. And what is the purpose for our life? He places us in mission to bring this gospel into a dying world. The mission here was understood by this one leper. You can understand almost the hurt of Jesus looking here. Weren't 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? No one was found except this Samaritan to come and praise God. And so Jesus looks at the man and says these beautiful words. Rise, go your way. Your faith has saved you. And he went his way. He got on his feet, went back to his daily calling, had now had both physical and spiritual healing. Christ has a mission for you and me. We know who our master is. You have a lot of bosses. You have a lot of people that tell you what to do each and every day. But you only have one master, your Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of good and bad that happens to you each day. But you have God's mercy in Christ. And now he's got a mission for you. God's children, as St. Paul said, bear witness like good soldiers who do their work, like athletes who run a battle, like a hard-working farmer who tills the field. We are the elect who have obtained salvation by grace. What we have heard, what we have been taught, the gospel that has been preached that enables us to endure anything is the work of our mission to bring that gospel into the world so people who did not know God can now know God and say the same thing Ruth said. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Nothing but death will separate us from one another. So people may know who the true and living God is. In conclusion, since Jesus is our master and has had mercy on us, we do turn back with a loud voice as we sing the psalms and the hymns and fall at his feet and give him thanks. And we will rise and leave this place with the mission of making disciples of all nations in our daily vocation and calling, in our home, at work, here in our congregation. There is a reason that for nearly 120 years, this church has had divine services, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, teen Bible studies, LYF, having ministry to the sick and the infirm. We believe what Christ has said, that we will carry out the mission of Christ here in our community, one person at a time. There's a reason why we have a school and that the children sit right here during the week in the religion lesson, in the chapel lessons, and hear the same lessons you're hearing with the vicar and me. And there's a reason why they're in the classroom being taught the Bible stories, because this is also our mission through our school and child care. And there's a reason we've invested 21 years in vicars and in our campus ministry and in reaching the campus with the ministry of Christ and reaching out now to the international community in English as a second language. This is also part of our mission, not only here in these doors, but outside these doors. I began by asking, who is Jesus? He is our master. What has He shown us? Mercy. How do we live our lives? In mission. May we, having heard the very same words that this leper heard, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Rejoice as we too fall at Jesus' feet. Praise God with a loud voice, for our Master has shown mercy to us, and we are in His mission. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.